Charles said we'll have our talk at this time. Time is a word that is used many, many times throughout the Scripture. Now, granted, it's not always referring exactly the same way, but from what I counted, just going through my concordance, it's some 700 times it's used throughout the Bible, the word time. Have you ever thought about the significance that time, the significant role that time plays in each one of our lives? We live our lives by the clock. Everything we do, from the time we get up in the morning till we go to bed at night, everything we do is governed by time. Each day of our lives, as the days go by and days turn to weeks and weeks turn to months and turn to years, it's all governed by time. We sleep by the clock. We eat by the clock. We go to work and we get off of work by the clock. We have appointments by the clock, doctor appointments, dentist appointments, interviews, meetings. We indeed live by the clock. Solomon points this out in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. He says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." We are bound by time as long as we're here on this earth. And our bodies are bound by time. And we see that as the years go by, we can see the effect that time takes on us. And none of us know how much time we have on this earth. But God is not bound by time. In 2 Peter 3:8, "With the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day." Time has no bearing on God. Once we pass from this life, time will have no bearing on us. When we become spiritual beings, we sing a song about when we've been there 10,000 years, there's no less days to sing His praise as when we first begun. And I skipped over a lot of that, but you know what song I'm referring to. When Jesus was on this earth, His physical body was subject to time just as we are. Jesus makes the point over and over. He's constantly saying, "My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come." And then when His time comes, He makes that point, "My time has come," or "My time is at hand." Jesus was subject to time. But once Jesus was in the grave and He arose, He was no longer subject to time. And we will not be subject to time either. The fact of the matter is that God has appointed us a time on this earth. And there's a time when we will live. We have no control. When a child is born, no one has a control over what time that child arrives on this earth, nor does anyone have control of what time that child leaves this earth. And I'm not speaking about, apart from murder, I'm talking about a natural death or whatever. And each one of us may have a different allotment of time, or we all have a different allotment of time. Some of it, for some people, it may only be a few years. For some people, it may be 100 years. We don't know. The fact is, time can run out on a small child, an infant, a newborn baby, or a two-year-old, or a four-year-old, or whatever, just as easy as time can run out on someone who's 100 years old. We don't know when that time's going to be. In Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this the judgment. In James 4:14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. As I get older and I start to look back at my life, I realize how fast time is speeding by. And I've been told that the older you get, the faster it seems to go. Just this morning, Greg and I were talking about the hiking trip that I went on with, it was him and Trevor and Johnny Williams. We all went on that hiking trip together. And thinking back on that, it seems like, yeah, that's been a few years ago. That was in 2003. That has been, this fall will be 16 years since that hiking trip occurred. And we got to talk about that and say, wow, 16 years have gone by since that took place? I can't believe that's been 16 years. Paul and I will be celebrating our 21st anniversary this summer. And I think, you know, I can remember back when we got married. I can remember when we were dating and maybe those first few years that we were married. But what happened to all that time in between? Kids come along and the rest of it's a blur. Did I sleep through it? It's just amazing to think how quickly time can escape us and how fast the years go by. And we don't realize it. Time is getting away from us. Every tick of the clock is one tick closer to death. Are we prepared for that? What are we doing each and every minute that we're alive to prepare ourselves for that last second, that last tick of the clock? Because it's at that point that we're going to be accountable and we're going to stand in judgment. After that, our fate is sealed. There's nothing else we can do to right the wrongs in our lives, or to encourage someone who is lost, or to visit the sick, or to help a neighbor out. There's nothing else we can do. Once that last tick takes place, it's over, and our fate is sealed, and we're going to stand in judgment for what has taken place throughout our lives. So that's my question. What will you do with the time that is allotted to you? We can spend it in riotous living, such as the prodigal son. We've all heard the slogans, reach for the stars, go for the gusto, or live it up and only worry about number one. We can do that, and we can spend all our time and all our efforts working a job and trying to make as much money as we can possibly amass and pile it up and buy nice things and try to compete with our neighbors on who's got the best house or who's got the best vehicle or who has the nicest gun collection or whatever your thing is. We can spend our time in all of that. What does that gain us when this life's over? Not a thing, because none of it's going with us. And it's all going to deteriorate. Or we can do what we know we should do, and we can dedicate our lives in service to the God of heaven. We can serve Him by serving others. We can study and pray and worship Him every day. And we can lead others to Christ. And we can start with our own families and setting the example that we need to set to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and build that foundation under them so that they will not stumble when they leave our nest, and they go out into the world, and they face these liberal professors in these colleges and institutions, all of these atheists out here in the world that are trying to destroy faith, their faith left and right. And it's getting worse every day. There's someone around every corner just waiting to destroy your faith. Are we raising our children up and grounding them in the faith so that they won't tip over and fall when they're faced with these difficult questions? And they're faced with these temptations of evil? I watched a video on YouTube. This is a little bit off subject here, but it just kind of made me think of this. This guy was going around this college town, and he was interviewing people. And he only obviously showed the ones that he interviewed who were atheists. And he would talk to them about their lack of belief in God and why they chose that road, and he would point out evidences all around us. You know, Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." It definitely takes a fool to look around at this creation and say there is no God. But he, as he went through these interviews, what he boiled it down to in every case in his video, every person that he talked to who subscribed to atheism, their number one reasoning for rejecting God was for the desire to be able to do whatever they wanted to do and not have any convictions against it. They wanted, and it was in most cases, it was sexual. A sexual sin. They wanted to engage in sexual activities and not have any responsibilities or not have anyone or anything on their conscience that told them that that was wrong. People subscribe to atheism because they don't want to obey God. We have to believe. We must believe, and we must teach our children that there is a God, and He is active in our lives. He knows everything we do. He knows everything we think and say. And whether we believe it or not, we're still going to be responsible. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So the time that we have, what time do we have? We have right now. That's it. That's all we are guaranteed, is this very moment in time. We may not make it out that door tonight. We don't know. And we've heard that. We've heard many preachers stand behind the pulpit and make those same comments. But do we ever really think about it? When we get in our vehicle and head home, you know how many accidents occur every day, fatalities on the highways? Of people who got up, just like I get up every morning, and I get my shower, and I get ready, and I head to work. I'm not thinking, well, this is the last time I'm going to see my family. Every one of those people that die on the highways, they're not thinking that either. They're thinking, well, I'm going to go to work, and they probably got plans. When I get off work this evening, I got to go do this. But that time never comes, because their time ends right there on that highway. They get in a fatal car crash and it's over. It's it. What about the man that's got his whole life planned out, maybe the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years? He knows what he's going to do, all the things that he's going to accomplish. And all of a sudden he starts having some pains in unusual places. And he goes to the doctor only to learn that he has terminal cancer. And he's got just a few weeks or months to live. I could be standing here before you tonight with cancer in my body and don't know it. Every one of us, any of us, we don't know. We don't know what time we have other than right now. So I want to say, Let's use our time wisely. Today, let's be a servant. Today, let's encourage God's people. Let's encourage one another. Today, refuse to let your past, your pain, your problems keep you from your Savior. Today, meditate on God's Word. Today, pray to God. Today, thank God. And today, walk with the Lord. We have this time now as a time of invitation for anyone who needs to come to the Lord. Anyone who has been struggling with issues in your life and you need the prayers of the congregation, we offer this time that you might come forward and let your request be made known to the congregation, that we might pray for you and that we might help you to overcome whatever troubles you. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you have this time. Surely you know what to do. You've heard the Word. Surely you believe you're here. You need to repent of your sins. Turn away from them. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized for the remission of sins. Whatever your desire is, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.